Breaking news! Sebastian Vettel is returning to Formula One!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Pit Stop. That was a slower one.
That was a really slow one.
For what the week is, that was a slow one.
I know, but maybe I should speed up because it is race week!
Ladies and gentlemen, it's race week!
Woohoo!
The Japanese Grand Prix is among us.
Suzuka.
Yeah, the track which sometimes gets a lot of rain.
It does, mate. And it's funny you said that, actually, because I have the weather forecast.
Oh, well, I would love to start today's episode with the Japanese weather forecast for the weekend.
The weather forecast for Suzuka, cloudy with a chance of sushi.
Oh, what sushi?
Salmon.
Sashuma.
Tuna. And a vegetarian option for those of you who don't eat meat.
Oh, so if it's tuna, what tyre compound will people go out on?
Probably, I would say the medium fatty.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Medium fatty. Right, FP1 and FP2 on Friday. It's looking a little chilly.
Wait, mate. I didn't learn anything then. So is it actually going to rain or not?
Yeah, I'm coming right now.
Oh,
it's coming.
Sorry,
it's coming in hot.
Oh, the proper weather report's coming now.
Yeah, cloudy with a chance of sushi was a joke.
The weather report with Fabio Bocca.
Imagine if it actually rained sushi in Japan. FP1 and FP2 on Friday. It's looking a little chilly, but mostly cloudy and dry. Saturday, we have a slight chance of some drizzle throughout the day. So also a slight chance of Logan Sargeant binning it in FP3.
Yep, that's very, very true.
Quali could get interesting with a damp track and those high-speed corners.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday, race day, there is a moderate chance of rain in the morning with a slight improvement expected for the race with likely drier conditions in the afternoon. Now, this is exciting, mate, because when you have the chance of rain, but not all rain and not all dry, it's the team's chance to really show off their strategy now.
I would love a wet race. I think it would be perfect timing for there to be a wet race and just something crazy happen off the back of Carlos Sainz winning.
Yeah.
A lot of people, I reckon, will watch this weekend. I think it might be like the most watched race this season so far.
What gives you that thought?
Because someone else won last week. A lot of neutral fans, a lot of people who are just coming from like Drive to Survive, who might have last year faded off a bit because of Max won every week, might have loved last weekend.
Especially with the amount that everyone's posted about it on social.
I know.
So you can't get away from
it. The only thing is it's at 6 a.m. So a lot of people will be watching the highlights. We will be up though. I will be up. My brother's coming to London. So my older brother is coming to watch his first ever F1 race with me. I can't wait for all of his questions. He's a very new Formula One fan, but he's absolutely loving it. You got the timings right there?
FP, if you're in the UK, FP2 is at 8 a.m. on Friday. Quali is 8 a.m. on Saturday and the race is 7 a.m. So it's actually not that bad.
I thought the race was 6 a.m. our time on Sunday.
The widget.
I think your widget is European.
No, the wiggle doesn't lie, mate.
I'm pretty sure it's 6 a.m.
The wiggle does not lie.
All right, you get up and you can be there for 7 and I'll be there for 6 and we'll see who's right.
Maybe coverage starts at 6.
Yeah,
Maybe you were looking at the F2. No.
Maybe, yeah, coverage starts at 6.
I don't know, but either way, mate. Yeah, like you said, a wet race would be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I almost think that the chance of it being slightly damp, slightly dry is more interesting.
Yeah. So you're talking it rains in quali?
A little bit of drizzle.
Or it rains the day before, but it isn't raining in the race?
No, there is a chance that it does rain during the race as well.
From my driving experience of the track, Suzuka, I know that it's got slippery curbs.
Okay.
And because it's such a quick, high-speed corner track, if them curbs are a little bit slippy, there's going to be some slips.
Especially. Well, yeah, there would be. not wrong
there. No, I put 1 and 2 together there and I made 5.
But this is what I mean, though. If the teams don't know if it's going to be dry or wet, then it's down to, you know, like a Ruth Buscombe.
Or you.
Or me to text one of them and say, look, I personally would go intermediate.
So I think these teams probably have good enough weather analysis to decide whether it's going to be wet or dry.
But you could never really know.
You can never really know.
Because you remember they got the rain spotters, like me.
Yeah, like people like Fab.
But also the clouds can just come out of nowhere, mate. You have a sudden change of wind. All of a sudden a rain cloud come over the track.
Yep.
Everyone would have to come in. I just think this is an opportunity now to go off the back of what happened, like you said, last race.
Yep.
Carlos wins. Maybe we're going to see another couple of drivers who maybe would never have really been in the points if they get the strategy right, rain comes down and Pierre Gasly gets out on the intermediates first.
Well, that's the thing. Rain opens up races. And the whole time we have been watching F1, every time there's been heavy rain, they haven't even gone out. For the last like 2 years of Formula One, they've barely even used the wet tires. Like, why are they even there? I've seen highlights of races from like 5, 10 years ago.
That's true.
Where they're amazing races in the rain.
That's true.
But now, I guess for safety measures, we just don't seem to start in the rain. We don't go back out in the rain. We don't use the cars in the rain.
Maybe there's just been a massive, you know, maybe that's part of global warming. It's either raining like crazy or it's just really dry. Maybe we don't have it in between.
But I hope F1 don't stop us from having a wet race. I want there to be a race where it's pissing with rain. The cars are on the grid in their wet tires, you know. Formation lap.
It's coming down sideways.
It might be a bit more dangerous and the visibility might not be perfect, but it's motor racing.
And Yuki Tsunoda is starting on pole.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. In Japan. Like when Magnussen got pole position and it was just crazy.
Wow, what a time alive. That was
because of a red flag.
Yeah, it was.
So
this is what I mean. This is why we could have different people.
Well, you're going to be getting our predictions in today's episode, and mine, feeling pretty good about them, must say.
Have you got your... I haven't got mine yet.
That's right, you've got a bit of time to think about it. We're only just started the episode.
Thought at all, but coming off that, I think I might have a little sneaking idea of what might happen, mate. Speaking of Suzuka, in 2007, your mate...
Let me guess.
Your mate?
Mate. Mark Webber?
Yes.
I won't say nothing. I just want to play a video to you. I don't know if you saw this on F1 Instagram.
I haven't seen a video of Mark Webber.
But it cracked me up. And the thought of me playing this over the mics and people not being able to see it makes it even funnier. So listen to this. But you can watch it as well.
Mark Webber has food poisoning. It goes beyond the call of duty.
No way. No. In his helmet.
I'm vomiting, I can't fucking drive. God. Threw up in his helmet, mate.
That is bad. Imagine your own... See, when I'm sick... what's the word? Trigger warning. But when I'm sick, it makes me cry. Like, instantly.
Yeah, I found a video
so
on my
So I would
phone
be there with
the
tears
day.
Coming down my face in my helmet.
It's so weird you say that. Yeah, from a throwback from like this time 2 years ago, and it's you... curled over your toilet with puke everywhere. I don't know where we have been. I think it was like an F1 event.
No, that sounds like after... Oh, that was after F1 Arcade.
Yeah,
that was after F1.
New Year.
The New Year's.
When we stole the WTF1 umbrella off Matt.
Yeah.
Because it was raining.
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out to WTF1. Do you have any news, mate, for me? I see you got something.
Now, who remembers last year Toto Wolff decided to take a holiday to Disneyland in the middle of the season and took his kids on a race weekend?
I remember.
Now, Toto Wolff was planning a trip this weekend. He was going to take the kids to Butlins. If you don't know what Butlins is, it's a UK holiday
You're
park.
You're fucking lying.
Okay,
not Butlins. He would have taken them to like the Maldives or the Bahamas or something.
Yeah, maybe not Butlins, but originally Toto Wolff had booked Japan off work.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, he was going to have it off, you know. And to be fair to Toto Wolff, I know he's the team principal, but he's never usually on the pit wall. He could probably get away with not really being there. Really?
Well,
he could, surely?
I don't know, because sometimes you need to hear that voice sure over the mic, you know, just to make that you get in the zone.
Well, either way, I think everyone deserves at least one weekend off a year. He was going to have it off, and now he has confirmed today that he is no longer having it off amid the backlash that not only he has received online for taking it off, but also the pressure that Mercedes are currently under because they are underperforming.
Yeah, last race, they didn't do too well, did they? It was a double DNF.
Well, that's it. If you were a team principal, though, would you want a weekend off?
Well, they don't race every weekend. I mean, come on, Toto. You're paid like millions and billions of dollars.
He's
just
owns
to
the team.
Sit in a garage and go, oh, come on, Lewis. No, obviously it's a fucking joke. I mean, I think they all should get like a couple of races off each year. But I mean, like, you shouldn't really pick one in the first quarter of the year. This is when it's the most important.
Yeah, well, the good news is, everyone, Toto Wolff is going to be there in Japan. He's cancelled his holiday, which is a shame. Everyone hates when a holiday gets cancelled.
Wonder if the wife and kids will still go.
Well, they go to quite a few races, don't they?
I've never seen his kids, have you? Has he got kids?
They went to, I've seen them at like one race, or I've seen them take some photos. They must, as a family, must be so ridiculously busy, because Susie's obviously doing F1 Academy.
Yeah.
Toto's doing, like, they must have a bloody good nanny.
I was going to say, I bet they got about 3 or 4 of them.
Yeah. And to be fair, I don't think, I have nothing against that. Like, I think that's cool. But yeah, I'm sure they have a very good nanny.
He needs it. He can't be home all the time. So neither of them can. So
I bet he's a great dad though.
Oh,
I think I've seen a few clips on Drive Survive, actually, of him with his kids.
Well, do you remember what I was saying to you? I was talking about my German granddad the other day, and how he's got a very... I can't do it, but he's got like...
I'm sure you can.
He's German, and he's got an amazing like reading voice. And Toto reminds me a lot of my granddad, because when he did that interview with that young lad, you know, one of the F1 juniors?
Yep, yep. Oh, yeah, he went really quiet.
Yeah, he was like talking like this, you know, and like, why do you want to ask me that kind of question about Lewis? And it was like, but it was like really soft, and it reminded me of my granddad.
But also, one thing I took from them F1 kids is, obviously, we're older than them, but I feel like the way you approach a question gets a calmer answer, and that reminds me a lot of like our show and how we talk to our guests and how the answers we get back quite a lot of the time are very personal, you know.
This
is
conversation. We get offered to do podcasts with people that aren't in the flat, and like we just have to kind of straight up refuse it these days, because this sofa is a piece of prime real estate, mate.
Even though it is now broken.
It is completely broken.
Snapped underneath. So if anyone works at a sofa company or wants to, because this was gifted from a friend because we couldn't afford a sofa. So
yeah,
if anyone out there wants to somehow get a brand new sofa to London, feel free.
This is incredibly important to the questions and answers on this podcast, because I see a lot of pods where people are sat very formally in a hard wooden chair. And if you're uncomfortable, you're going to give a different kind of answer. It's just completely true. If you're relaxed, you kind of sink into the sofa, you got two lads sat opposite you, you got a nice glass of water, it's a chilled environment, you'll get answers and questions which you wouldn't have got before.
It's true. Well, to be fair, pretty much every Formula One podcast has now copied us, and everyone has a sofa and they've gone for like a lounge vibe. Majority of them also hold the microphones.
Naming no names.
But, even in football, to be fair, not going to lie, a lot of football shows have copied the way we do it.
Well, there you go. We're trendsetters, mate. Mm-hmm. Breaking news.
Okay, breaking news. Break it out.
And this one goes out to everyone in our Discord, because they were laughing at how we just come out with this, with breaking news out of nowhere.
Yep.
Apparently it's so random, it kind of scares some people, apparently.
It probably does make people jump.
The Turkish Grand Prix is returning to Formula One.
Fabricated or real?
Absolutely not fabricated, mate. Well, okay, maybe slightly fabricated.
What percentage of happening is this?
I'd say about 80.
Okay, so it's not actually definitely returning.
No, but from what I've read online, now, it was Istanbul Park. Mm-hmm. Never been to Istanbul, have you?
No, I would love to.
I would love to, because there was that one advert on TV where there was the belly dancer. She was like shaking.
Wait, is it belly dancing in Istanbul?
I don't know. She was dancing with her belly out.
Belly dancing is a thing that's gone quite quiet now, isn't it? When we were kids, I am belly dancing whilst I say this, but when we were kids, I feel like it was a bigger thing.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe in your school. Well, you went to my school, so I don't remember
that. Well, not before that. I went to another school before that.
I don't remember any belly dancing at
church school. And there was no belly dancing at the church school either. Weird.
Maybe you were dreaming.
Maybe I was dreaming of belly dancers.
The circuit has new owners. It's been bought out.
Yep.
Can you take a guess at the total cost of what they paid for the Istanbul Park track?
So they've bought the whole track?
Yeah.
I reckon 80 million.
Close.
That, really?
Close, that you probably looked at my notes.
No, I didn't. I swear I didn't.
Guess.
What is it?
93 million pounds.
Pounds?
Pounds, yeah. Okay. It's like $114 million, I think. Ridiculous. Which is a lot of money, but from what I've read, it appears that they don't just get the circuit, they also get the deals and the contracts with the racing that comes with the circuit.
Yeah.
So the new contract apparently includes a stipulated guarantee that F1 will return to Istanbul Park by 2026.
Okay.
Now, several circuits on the calendar are actually, their contracts are up at the end of 2025. This includes Spa, Monza, Mexico, Zandvoort, and actually quite a lot more as well, yeah. I didn't realise. So come 2026, mate, not only are we going to see new drivers on the grid, a new team on the grid, but also like potentially a couple of new circuits.
Yeah, well, it's a returning circuit, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's I don't know when the last time was that it was on. I mean, you and me haven't seen it.
No, but a lot of people say it's one of their favourites.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I've seen a post.
Turkey, yeah?
Apparently. It's meant to be really good. And the other one's Malaysia. That's meant to be really, really good.
Yeah, and also, apparently, I don't know if it's returning, but it could be a new one. Cancun, mate.
Cancun?
Yeah.
So Mexico. But they've already got Mexico. What would happen to the current Mexico race?
There's more than two in America.
True. Maybe they'll have another one. Mate, I bet there's going to be even more in America.
Mm, same.
Because there was rumours of that Chicago one. There was rumours of a New York one.
Yeah, but was there rumours about Chicago? Was that just
well,
made
there up was rumours on Pista, right?
F1 is coming to the streets of Chicago.
No,
is
I
what
saw
you
it on
said.
Google. Like, I'm just being honest with the viewers with what I've seen. Look, they need to come to London.
Genius stuff.
If they can do Formula E here, they can do Formula One here. I mean, bring the Formula One to London.
You think?
I'm not sure Silverstone would be too happy about it.
We can still have Silverstone.
But London is a busy city and it's very well connected.
It's
so
also
it already has a lot of the infrastructure in place that a lot of these places don't even have.
Yeah, but London's also a very old, historic city with small roads and very tight areas. You know, It's not like a Vegas where they've got these massive roads. I mean, it would make for a more interesting race.
The whole M25.
What, the whole?
The whole loop.
Like the fucking Nordschleife, but it's around London.
It's the Nürburgring, isn't it then? Mm. Really long, the whole M25. It would be DRS the whole way.
But then it's like the Indy 500. Oval circuit.
I would watch that.
And also, the tarmac is dog shit. They'll hit one bump at 200 miles an hour. I hit a bump in my Golf and nearly went flying.
And this is a great idea. They get to pick where their pits are. And you put your pits in a garage.
All right.
Round the M25.
I'd go Cobham services.
Yeah, because it's got Costa.
Yeah, quite, yeah, and a fry up. And a fry up. That's
yeah, you'd want to get
and
a fry up.
Slot machine for a cheeky little spin on the pit.
That would be amazing. I'm throwing ideas in Liberty Media. Breaking news!
Okay.
McLaren have been making some transfers. Some people have left. I saw this a couple of days ago because the first person that left is. It's called David Sanchez. Sorry, I had to scroll down because it only said Sanchez at the top.
I want to say, mate, straight off the bat, this is bad news.
Oh, not David. David Sanchez, sorry. He's not. He might not be Spanish.
I'm not sure. This is real bad news.
Yeah, so he has only been there for 3 months and he left already. Now, the reason he left is because apparently he wasn't aligned with the job that he took. It wasn't really what he thought he was going to be doing. It didn't really work out for the team. So he's gone. 10 minutes ago... Literally 10 minutes ago before filming this, another person has left McLaren. Yeah, again, I have to go down to try and find the full name. One second.
Emmanuel, isn't it?
Pirro. Emmanuel Pirro, the 5-time Le Mans 24-hour winner and ex-Formula One racer, has left his managing role at McLaren's Young Driver Program only after a year in the job.
Now, what does this mean, mate?
Because I'm telling you, there is teams right now hiring people ready.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know why it's never spoken about on TV or never spoken about anywhere else, but there is like Audis, your Andretti's are still trying.
That's what I thought, mate, because I don't think it's as if McLaren are doing badly at the minute. They're doing really freaking well. Do you know what I mean? So it's not as if they're leaving because they're like, shit, we got to get out.
Mate, they're leaving because someone has given them a ring, given them a text, given them an email and said, look, we'll double your wages.
Rari.
We'll give you 10% more.
Rari.
Ferrari probably will bring a lot of people over with Hamilton.
100%.
But there's going to be big changes. I mean, you don't really see it as much, the people behind the scenes. You know, I feel like 10 years ago, they probably didn't even really talk about this stuff in the media. You probably barely knew, really, who was moving from where to where.
But can't really comment on that. Deal. Although I did see an old graphic from Formula One like 20 years ago.
Really?
And it's so much more
made on PowerPoint.
So much more. It was made on Paint. So much more streamlined now. Like it just looks better, easier to understand. And I saw a young clip of Kimi Räikkönen as well, which is crazy because he's now got a young son who's probably going to come up to be a young F1 driver at some point.
The grid needs a young Kimi Räikkönen. That would be. That'd be quite something. But yeah, McLaren have had two people leave. Not sure how much that's going to affect performance because we are not the right podcast for that. But just thought I'd update you on that.
Very bloody interesting. I've got a few questions from the Discord.
Okay.
That I thought I would share.
Yep, please do.
I just picked like three or four. It's actually only three, which I thought were quite interesting. I wanted to get your take on it, mate.
Yep, my takes are ready.
This one's from Kit. If Hello, Toto Kit. And Zach came knocking on the flat door asking for advice going into Japan, what would you say to each of them?
Who? Toto and...
Zach Brown.
Toto and Zach Brown. Right, well, I'd want to do the... So it's just me talking to them.
Well, I mean, what would we say?
Okay, well, I'd want to do them individually. I wouldn't want them together.
No way, no. I mean, for a start, I'd say Toto, like, yeah, it's a good thing that you're going.
My advice, yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
My advice to Toto would be to try and get the strategy right. That would be my first bit of advice. I'd say make sure you try and get your strategy right.
Mm-hmm.
And I would really, really recommend.
Is he the strategist though?
Well, I want him to relay this. Okay.
Okay.
I would be starting on softs no matter what.
Even if it's raining.
If it's raining, intermediates. But I've got a feeling of a really early safety car.
I can see why people leave bad comments on our clips now. For stuff just like that. But that's a prime example of why some people don't like what we say.
Yeah. So I'd tell Mercedes to start softs, but I'd tell McLaren to start hards. Because I think the safety cars could be important.
Okay.
And also, as you can tell, the advice that I would give them is useless. What advice would you give?
I would say there's a great sushi bar down in the seaside market. Every morning, 6 a.m., the tuna come out the sea.
Makes you 10%
quicker. They all bid on them. So I'd say, grab some sushi from one of those. Any of them. It's all legit. Fresh out the sea.
It's all legit. Yeah, nice.
Get down there at 6. Get to the track maybe a bit earlier than usual. Like, because, you know, just because you're the fucking boss doesn't mean you can show up when you want. Like, you need to be on ground looking after your team. Rain or shine, whatever's going on.
Yeah, so not taking a holiday.
Fill yourself up with a bit of sushi, have a coffee, have a cigarette, come to the track.
Have a cigarette.
Just, I would say, keep the vibes up and just like give everyone a pat on the back.
Yeah.
Like members of the team who maybe you don't talk to, just go give them a little pat on the back. Just say, mate, well done for your efforts so far this year. Let's keep pushing.
I would also say to both of them that they should do everything all weekend with chopsticks. Everything.
Even drive.
Like passing the passing the gloves to the driver, chopsticks. Filling out a bit of paper, chopsticks. Really make the brain think. Really have to try and pick stuff up, you know?
Do you know what would be great? It's a chopstick where at the end you can click it and a little thing and you can write with it.
Like a pen?
Like a pen, yeah. So you can eat with it and write with it at the same time.
That would be great.
That would be really cool.
Well, that advice wasn't very good. So next question.
Bruce is Firefly.
Hello, Bruce is Firefly.
Hello, Bruce. Are you a Firefly or are you just Firefly? What would you call this current chapter of your life? Now, this was not to do with F1, but I found this quite interesting because there's only one word I can think for this, and I would say building.
Building. Okay.
I feel like we have got to a point with doing Pit Stop where we've laid the foundations and now we have to just build on top of what we've laid down, because I think we could both agree that neither of us are where we want to be.
No.
Or where we want Pit Stop to be.
Building's good. I'd say the same thing. Or learning. Building or learning.
Learning.
Figuring out what we're good at, what we're bad at, what we need help with.
Building upon
knowledge.
That's
kind of where we're at. It's still a new show. Like, some people and some shows have been going for a long time. Yeah, there's a lot of other new shows, but...
You know, Joe Rogan's got like 3,000 episodes.
Yeah, we've done
like
200.
That.
And even that feels like a lot.
It feels like loads, doesn't it?
Do you reckon
it?
We'll make the 1,000? Do you reckon Pit Stop will ever make 1,000 podcast episodes?
Christ, now that's a question. can you and me talk about Formula One for 1,000 episodes? I mean... We'll give it a bloody good go.
Yeah, I can if Ollie Behrman signs for Ferrari, that's a good 50 episodes.
Oh, easily. Right, final question is from Megan Green.
Hello, Megan Green.
What do you think will be the biggest shock of the season? Maybe driver swaps, DNFs, championship dark horses?
Driver swaps mid-season. We've been saying that since the beginning of the year. Mm. I think there's so much like ruthlessness in the sport now. And like we said, it's good to keep people in the sport for Drive to Survive in the media. It's equally good to swap them. It creates hype, creates engagement, creates a lot of excitement around the new team and stuff like that. Well, you've predicted there to be 9 race winners this year.
And so far we've had
two.
Two.
So if anyone else wins,
That would be a big shock.
And we're not really only even a quarter of the way through the championship.
Yeah,
so if you times
race,
two
yeah.
by four, that's eight. That's nearly nine. So
this weekend says a lot. Imagine this weekend, Alex Albon wins. That would... That's the kind of thing I want to see.
He has the credentials, mate. It only takes like a James Vowles-y type bloke to be like, no, I think actually, Alex, we're going to put you on intermediates, even though it says no rain. We're going to do it anyway. And then all of a sudden, it fucking rains. Mm-hmm. Alex goes, gets the fastest lap in Q3. Everyone else crashes.
Do you know what? That's what I want to see. A grid at the start of the race where some people are on intermediates and some people are on like mediums softs. And softs. And everyone's kind of...
Wasn't that Silverstone last year? Isn't that exactly what we told Roof to do?
I can't remember. You texted her a picture of the track, didn't you?
Or maybe it was quali, and then it cleared up for the race.
Whatever you did, mate, it was absolutely perfect. You absolutely smashed it.
I don't think I did I?
Skip that little bit of information. Sebastian Vettel has come and done an interview, and the headline of this article on Sky Sports...
Can you just say the line first?
What?
Breaking news. You're breaking news? Yeah.
Breaking news! Sebastian Vettel... is returning to Formula One. Is that the headline you wanted?
Yeah, it really is.
That's a million views, isn't it?
Well, the last one, then.
He's done an interview on Sky Sports, reputable.
With Craig, is his surname Slater?
Yeah, Craig Slater, who is actually a great F1 journalist.
Got a lot of time for that day. He's the one who called the Lewis the Ferrari.
Yeah, he's actually class. I met him at the Red Bull home run. We got changed together.
Oh, did you see anything?
Me no speak Americano. Sebastian Vettel has admitted he is thinking about returning to Formula One during an exclusive interview with Sky Sports. Wow.
He's had a little chat with Toto Wolff.
He has had a chat with Toto Wolff. In the interview, he also goes on to say how he would like the situation at Red Bull to be a bit more transparency, since everything that happened at Red Bull a couple of weeks ago has gone completely quiet.
Yeah. Mate, very easy to look at Sebastian Vettel and put him with the likes of the Alonsos.
Mm-hmm.
But age-wise, there's about...
With the Alonsos.
There's about a five-year gap between them.
What, is he younger?
Yeah, he's 36, mate.
He could easily come back. Younger than Hamilton.
Yeah, what's Hamilton?
I think he's 40, 41.
So what's Alonso then, 43?
Never been very good at ages.
Don't really know. But either way, and you know, Craig kept saying this in the interview, like, you're still young. And I actually, it hit me like, do you know what? Yeah, he is young. He is still young. And you look at him in the face and he's... still, you know, bright behind the eyes, and I think he'd still got it. So yeah, man, I mean, Sebastian Vettel returned to Formula One, don't know where he would go.
Near enough every team would take him, I think.
I know, but
if
Mercedes,
you get offers to have him, they'd be like, yes please.
Yeah, but where would he want to go? Because I can only think of like three teams that he would want to go to, and it's either Mercedes, Red Bull, Ferrari. I don't see him going back to Aston Martin, mate.
I think it's kind of Mercedes or nowhere.
And you know, we've heard Toto say that he wants a young Kimi Antonelli in that seat.
You are right. Could Vettel be the perfect person to fill a gap for a year until Antonelli's a bit better, needs another year in F2, just get Vettel in for a year, bloody, bloody, blah, blah. Vettel wins a world championship in 2025.
Bloody well possible. It is possible. So we'll have to wait and see. But until then, mate,
we have
our Japanese predictions.
Well, no, before that, we have... How Japanese are we?
Oh, you did find it.
I found a quiz.
Fucking hell.
Because we did one for Australia, didn't we? We found out how Australian we were.
Konnichiwa.
So that means hello. See, we're already a bit more Japanese than you think.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to take, there's actually two. They're very short. Okay. We're going to do it together. And you can play along at home and
there's
find
two
out
quizzes.
How Japanese you are.
Okay.
What is your age? Well, yeah, we're 25 to 30. We're both male. Here we go. Do you eat with chopsticks? What would you say? Would you use chopsticks if they were available?
So what are the options? 5% of the time, never, sometimes. I would say sometimes.
I would say sometimes as well.
We have chopsticks in the drawer.
Do you wear kimono?
Yes.
What is a kimono?
It's that black silk-looking dressing gown that I have with a dragon on the back.
You do wear kimono, but I don't. Okay. And I also said, what's a kimono?
Well,
that's
say
an
yes, because we want to be more Japanese, right?
What about only for special events?
Oh, I don't wear it every day, so yeah, all right.
Only for special events.
I wear it during the summer.
Do you have black hair and brown eyes?
I'd say you do, so yeah. Say yes.
Yeah, all right then. If you were a girl, do you wear long jeans under a skirt shirt? A short skirt?
I can't. You can answer that one, I can't.
Yeah, that style's so in. Are you a study workaholic?
I'd say we're workaholics.
Let's put kinda.
I would say we're workaholics.
All right, yeah, I must. All right, yeah, okay. Can you play taiko drums?
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Yes, we bloody well can. Dum, 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 dum.
Yes, of course you can. Do you like sashimi?
Yep.
Yep, we do like
love
that.
Love a bit of sashimi.
What is the biggest island of Japan called? Honshu, Hokkaido, Shikoku, Kyushu, or Okinawa?
Now, I know Okinawa.
Do you?
I don't know if it's the biggest island. I don't even know if it's a bloody island, but I know it's Japanese.
Why don't we say that the biggest island is the one with the most characters in its name?
I would personally go Okinawa.
Okinawa?
Yeah.
All right, let's go with Okinawa. Good. What do you do with your free time? Eat McDonald's is an option, so we're going to put that. Why are you taking this quiz?
Speak for yourself.
Because I want to know how Japanese I am. Do you listen to J-pop?
Nah.
No.
I'm sorry, but no.
Last question. Do you shave your eyebrows?
You pluck yours.
Yeah, the middle bit, but I don't shave them all off.
You've had them threaded a few times, so just put yes.
All right. Well, that's it. This might give us a percent.
Wait, so what were we Australian?
We were 68% Australian.
And how Japanese are we?
We are 60% Japanese-ish.
Ish. Alrighty.
Why does it say Japanese-ish? What does that mean?
Don't know, but that quiz looked like it was made of bloody...
That wasn't really
PowerPoint.
A proper one. No, but this is like five questions. It actually tells you a percentage, and which is really good.
It's got pictures as well.
Yeah, this is a really good one.
There's another one for the people
at home.
Just
quickly, yeah, this is more for the people at home, right?
Okay.
And this is apparently what Japanese people are like.
Okay.
According to this article, obviously.
Very respectful.
You're in
that.
A fairly long queue and your phone is entertaining you. But wait, someone has sneaked in front of you. What do you do? Gently pat them on the shoulder and let them know where the end of the queue is in case they missed it. Make loud remarks about rude queue-catting people to yourself, or pretend not to notice and hope people behind you don't either.
Japanese are very polite, but it doesn't mean that they're pushovers, so I would go with A. Gently pat them on the shoulder and let them know that the end of the queue is behind them.
Yeah, but we got to do what we would do. We can't just put the best answers. See, I would, without a doubt, probably just pretend not to notice.
What, if someone cuts in front of you in a queue?
Well, I don't know, what would you do?
It's happened to me at Nisa downstairs. I said, sorry, mate, I was in front.
Oh, yeah, to be fair, I'd probably do the same. We'll go with A with that one. You find a scarf on the pavement. Ah, just what you needed. You take it. No touching. You leave it on the floor. You don't know where it's been. Or C, tie it to the nearest fence so it doesn't fly away. What would you do if you found something on the floor?
Just leaving that shit on the floor. Leaving that shit on the floor. You don't know what's been on it. Like, you don't want to touch it, you know?
No, I'm the same. Your favourite cafe has just opened for brunch on the corner near you. Their fluffy Japanese souffle pancakes are to die for.
Oh, the mochi.
Yeah.
Is it mochi?
I ordered my matcha latte, my hotcha latte. I do love both, but... What? Who writes this shit? I have to... Oh, you get your wrong order, basically. I have to ask for my correct order. I've waited too long. I'll check if it was intended for another table or they're busy. I won't make a fuss. You would definitely ask for your correct order.
Of course.
Yeah, so that's A. We'll stick with A on that one. Of course you're asking.
Food is everything. I mean, the fucking wrong order.
You're volunteering at a beer tasting event at your local pub. You try to get away with as little as possible. You decide you're not well and for the day and ghost. You come early, work hard as a bee, and leave your area cleaner than it was when you arrived. Oh, this means you're working. I thought you meant to drink the beer.
At a local pub, I'm trying to get away with as little effort as possible, to be honest, mate. What a job.
And final question, your neighbours are having a garden party. It looks like so much fun. Let's knock on their door and fish for an invite. I'll fiddle about in my own garden hoping they see me and ask me to join, or I'll take occasional peeks out my window and observe.
Right, I'm not peeking out a window because that's creepy.
Yeah, that is creepy.
Knocking on their door
and asking for an invite
is too much, too pushy. If they haven't invited you, then they probably don't want you there.
I'd go out in my garden and just start doing something, keep looking over the fence, but oh, that looks fun, so that they're like, oh, come around.
Stick the clothes on the line, maybe mow the lawn or something.
Okay, well, we have no C's, and that's good because that would only make us 3% Japanese. 1 or 2 C's would make us 20% Japanese. 3 or 4 C's would make us 79% Japanese. But we have no C's.
So we're not Japanese at all.
So according to this one, we are 0% Japanese.
So you got to take an average between 60 and 0, which is 30. So we are 30% Japanese.
Konnichiwa.
Japanese predictions, mate, because I'm coming in freaking hot with this.
Right, let's start off with where Daniel Ricciardo's going to finish. I think
it's
going to
be
weekend.
It's going to be a fucking shock. A shock revelation.
Really?
You don't believe. Don't believe it's happened. Because it should be Yuki, right? Should be Yuki. Danny hasn't been doing very well this year. Oh no, here he is. Seventh position.
Seventh?
Yep.
Wow. I go 13th.
All right. So okay. Should we take an average?
Say 10th.
We'll say 10th.
10th would be good.
Yeah, it would be great.
He'd be happy with that. Points. He needs points this year. He hasn't got any yet.
He bloody well would be.
Mark Webber.
All right.
Your podium.
In third position, I am going to stick none other than... I was going to say Liam Lawson, mate.
Is he coming back?
Yeah, I felt something. Was it Japan? No, it was Zanvil, wasn't it?
You never know. Dragovic could be in a car if something happens.
All right, third position, I'm going to go for Lando Norris.
That would be a strong podium.
I'd say it's pretty solid.
Last time out here, both McLaren's on the podium. A little stat for you there.
There you go.
It's not a bad choice. I am going to say Charles Leclerc third.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm going to say Carlos Sainz second.
I'm going to say Charles Leclerc second.
Okay. And Max Verstappen is going to win this weekend.
Yeah. I think Max first, Charles in second. And it's quite funny because I saw Matt and Tommy talk about this. He's been getting a lot of rap and a lot of hatred and a lot of wrath. Charles Leclerc, people putting him down because Carlos Sainz has been doing really well. But that doesn't mean that Charles is bad. It just means Carlos had a good race. I think Charles is quicker over one lap, especially in qualifying. So if he can just stick the pedal to the metal, if he can stick the bloody chopsticks to the sushi this weekend in Japan, then maybe I think he could come second.
Yeah, it's very important that he sticks the chopsticks to the sushi. I think I will predict Leclerc to go pole. I think he'll go pole in qualifying, but I think he won't win the race. I think he'll come third. I think he'll get overtaken by Verstappen and Sainz.
And Sainz, yeah.
Yeah, I think anytime the Ferraris fight, Sainz will come out on top. Because I do think he will leave it in the corner later every time. He will battle every time. There's just way more pressure on Leclerc, isn't there, really?
Do you liken yourself to Carlos Sainz a little bit?
Yeah, 100%.
I thought so.
Other than the incredible good looks and the fact that he can actually drive an F1 car.
Yeah.
I'm very similar to Carlos Sainz.
And also only having one appendix.
We both only have no appendix.
Oh.
You don't have two.
Oh. Oh, right.
Yeah. But that's my prediction for the weekend, mate.
Nice. I think fairly solid. I wanted to get the McLaren up in there because I do think it could happen. So there you go, guys. It's currently Thursday, which means all the excitement
begins
kicks
tomorrow.
Off tomorrow.
Cannot
and if you're
wait.
Listening on Friday, it means it bloody kicks off today. And if you're listening, guess what? If you're listening on Saturday, it means it kicked off bloody yesterday. So what are you doing? Go get yourself in front of the TV and stick it on.
Yeah. Do what Fab said. Okay, goodbye.
Bye. Didn't mean to sound so angry.
Yeah, you're not actually angry. Bye.